Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise tonight. Come on, help me give the Lord a hand clap of praise tonight. I'm just thankful for the hand of the Lord. Amen. What a good old biblical principle. Take a look at yourself. You look at others differently. Stand with me all over this house tonight as we turn to the word of the Lord. Amen. I want to turn your attention tonight to the book of Ezra, the 7th chapter. Our children's church may be dismissed downstairs. We're thankful for those who've been helping out with our children's church. Up to 2nd grade may be dismissed downstairs. Gives the parents a little break up here so they can enjoy the word of the Lord. The book of Ezra, the 7th chapter and the 1st verse. Shout out amen once you get there. If you do not have your Bibles, the words are provided for you on the screen behind me. We're in the book of Ezra, the 7th chapter and the 1st verse. The word of the Lord reads, "Now after these things, in the reign of Artaxerxes, king of Persia, Ezra, the son of Seraiah, the son of Azariah, the son of Hilkiah, the son of Shallum, the son of Zadok, the son of Ahitub, the son of Amariah, the son of Azariah, the son of Merioth, the son of Zeruiah, the son of Uzai, the son of Bukai, the son of Abishua, the son of Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron." Finally, a normal name. "The son of Aaron, the chief priest." This Ezra that we're talking about tonight, this scribe, this Ezra went up from Babylon, and he was a ready scribe in the law of Moses, which the Lord God of Israel had given. The king granted him all his request according to the hand of the Lord God, his God, upon him. There went up some of the children of Israel and of the priests and of the Levites and the singers, and the porters, and the Nethinims, unto Jerusalem in the 7th year of Artaxerxes, the king. And he came to Jerusalem in the 5th month, which was in the 7th year of the king. For upon the first day of the 1st month began he to go up from Babylon. And on the first day of the 5th month came he to Jerusalem, according to the good hand of his God upon him. I want to read that verse one more time. "For upon the first day of the 1st month began he to go up from Babylon. On the first day of the 5th month came he to Jerusalem, according to the good hand of his God upon him. For Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it, and to teach in Israel statutes and judgments." I want for the next few moments to teach tonight on the good hand of God. The good hand of God. I want you to lay your Bibles down in your seats very gently. I want you to clap your hands unto the Lord. Let's make a joyful noise unto the Lord all over this house. Come on, somebody thank him for waking you up this morning. Come on, somebody thank him because you're no longer addicted. You're no longer bound. You're no longer depressed. You're no longer sick. Come on, you listen, you're blessed coming. You're blessed going. You're blessed in the city. You're blessed in the field. Come on, what is it that your God can't do tonight? I'm thankful for the good hand of the Lord tonight. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm thankful to be in the house of the Lord. For the next few moments, I want to talk on this simple topic, the good hand of God. The Lord bless you. You may be seated tonight. The good hand of God. I've been fortunate enough to hear some wonderful teachers teach on this subject, preachers preach on this subject. A very good friend of mine named Paul Runyon once taught a Bible study on the left hand of God. So many times we concentrate on the right hand of God. And we understand as apostolics, all you Bible scholars know that the right hand of God represents the power of God. The focus of his topic was, if the right hand of God is the power of God, what's the left hand doing? Amen. And one of these days, we're going to have him teach that in this church. I'm looking forward to that. And also listen to Ken Gurley teach on this topic, and what a blessing that was. And both of those were geared maybe from a different perspective. I don't want to concentrate tonight on either the right hand or the left hand, but just the good hand of God. How many know God's hand is good? God's hand is good tonight. Amen. And how many want to see the hand of God moving in your life? Come on, if you didn't raise your hand, I'm going to give you one more opportunity. How many want to see the good hand of God moving in your life? Amen. I want to see the hand of God moving in my life. And we as Pentecostals, we love to see God move. We love to see God work. And we love to see things change. And we love to see bobby pins fall out. Amen. Praise the Lord. We like to see altars full. But how many know that God moves much more than just in the house of God on Sunday? How many know God's moving in homes all throughout the week? God's transforming in marriages, and God's helping raise children, and God's blessing finances, and God's touching bodies that are sick, and the good hand of God, praise the Lord, neither sleeps nor slumbers. Praise the Lord. Amen. I'm thankful for the good hand of God, and we all want to see God move in our lives. And from the time we're pulling up to the table and downstairs in junior church, like those young children are right now, we begin to sing songs about the hand of God. I mean, remember that old song we used to sing, he's got the whole world in his hands. He's got the whole world in his hands. He's got me and you, brother, in his hands. Me and you, sister, in his hands. You want me to sing the rest of it? Y'all get the point, right? We sing that song when we're young and when we're children, and we're taught in Sunday school and junior church, and we sing songs about the hand of God when we're little. We're trained to realize that we need the hand of God working in our lives. And then as we get older, we still sing songs like the one we sang a few moments ago, a song that's been on my heart all day long. And I know sometimes I shock this worship team by just throwing these old songs on them, and they're not used to it. But that's an old song that we sung from the time that I was young. Amen. About putting our hands in the hand of the man who can steal the water. Praise God. Amen. We still sing those old songs, and there's reasons why we sing those old songs. When we sing those songs, amen, what we're doing is we're singing about the power of God. We're singing about the magnificent power of God. Amen. And we sing those songs about the hand of God because we want to know about the miraculous power of God. Amen. Somebody turn to your neighbor tonight and say, I want the power of God. Amen. Tell your neighbor, you need the power of God. Amen. We want the power of God. We need the power of God. We need the hand of God in our lives. Amen. I remember a time when people weren't satisfied with little things. I remember a time when people weren't satisfied with a little bit of church. I remember a time when people weren't satisfied with a little bit of singing and a little bit of preaching, but they wanted a move of God. Come on, they wanted the power of God. They wanted to worship till the glory came down. They wanted to hear the preaching until the power of God moved, until the sinner got convicted. Praise the Lord. We need the power of God. Amen. I once heard someone say that, if you can explain what God is doing in your life, God probably didn't do it. Oh, my Lord, that's a powerful statement. You know why? Because what God does is inexplainable. My God, somebody help this preacher tonight. If you can explain what God's doing in your life, chances are God probably didn't do it, because the God, what he does is inexplainable. It's indescribable. Praise the Lord tonight. Amen. It's beyond our comprehension. When the hand of God moves in our lives, church, it'll blow your mind. Come on, when that child of God who was bound by drugs or alcohol lays it down, let me tell you something, there ain't no way of describing that. There ain't no way of explaining that. You can't explain him away tonight. What God does is inexplainable. It's indescribable. It's uncomprehendable. It's beyond what we ever could think or what we ever could do. Webster can't put words to what God wants to do in our lives tonight. There was no explanation for King of Persia to just grant Ezra the right to leave Babylon. There was no explanation. And he even offered to give him, because of the road to Jerusalem was a dangerous way, he even offered to supply him troops to go with him to make sure that they were safe to get there. But Ezra turned him down because he wanted the king to understand that he had faith in God. He had faith in God. Amen. Church, what God does is beyond description. When the hand of God moves in your life, it'll blow your mind. When the hand of God moves in your life, it'll overflow your cup. He won't just give you just a little bit. He'll give you till you're overflowing. You know why? Because it ain't just for you. It's to the one sitting to the right of you. It's to the one sitting to the left of you. God will give you till you're overflowing. Amen. Praise God. He'll give you till you're overflowing. I wish somebody would stand with me right now in the boldness of the Holy Ghost and say, I don't know how God did it, but he did it. I wish somebody would remember in their life where God has brought them from. So many times we forget. A couple weeks go by, a couple years go by, a couple months go by, a couple friends go by. We forget where God brought us from. I wish somebody would stand up right now and say, I don't know how he did it, but he did it. Oh, I wish somebody would step out in faith right now and say, I don't know how he's going to do it, but he's going to do it. He's going to do it. I don't know how he's going to deliver me. I don't know how he's going to take that away from me. I don't know how he's going to remove this thing from me, but he's going to do it. Praise the Lord. He's going to do it. The good hand of God. Come on. Come on. So many times we forget where God has brought us from. We got to step out on faith, and we got to remind ourselves the good hand of God is up on us. Amen. I don't know how God did it. I don't know how God's going to do it, but I know he's going to do it by faith, but by the good hand of God, by faith in God, I know he's going to do it. Come on, there's people in this house that are trusting God for some stuff. Let me tell you something. You need to start declaring it right now. Don't wait till it happens. Don't think you're going to wait till it happens to praise him. You better be Judah. You better get the praise out front. You better get the praise. You better get the sound of praise out in front of your promise. Come on. Praise God. Come on. That's what we heard Sunday. You better get that sound of praise out in front of your promise. Praise the Lord. Amen. The Lord, when he moves in your life, he'll blow your mind. Praise God. You can't comprehend what God does. You can't define it. You can't explain it. Amen. What he does is incomprehensible. It's beyond what we could ever imagine. I'm talking to you tonight about the good hand of God. I don't know how God took that desire away from me, but he did it. Come on, I don't know how God touched my body, but he did it. Come on, I don't know how God removed the curse from my finances, but he did it. My God, we're talking about the good hand of God tonight. Sometimes we got to step out on faith and we got to thank him for his good hand. There was no explanation as to why the king of Persia would grant Ezra the right to leave, let alone the right to rebuild Jerusalem, the walls of Jerusalem. There was no explanation, and there is no explanation. I have been in this way long enough to realize that the wind bloweth where it listeth. And I've seen people that I thought for sure that I prayed so long that God was going to get a hold of them. But after some time, I realized that they had their own will and they was not going to listen to God. And then I seen people that I gave up on along the way, and somehow God got a hold of them, because the wind bloweth where it lives. We don't get to choose it. God chooses it. We don't get to decide what the good hand of God is going to do. God decides what he's going to do. He raises kings up and he sets kings down. Praise God. I'm talking about the good hand of God tonight. I don't know how God's going to do what you need in your life tonight, but I know he's going to do it. By faith, I know he's going to do it. By faith, I believe, I declare from the mountaintops tonight, God is going to do it. Church, right now is the time you want to tell him what you want. Come on. I don't know how God's going to heal my body, but he's going to do it. Come on, by the good hand of God, he's going to do it. I don't know how he's going to give me a good job, but by the good hand of God, he's going to do it. I don't know how he's going to get rid of this ailment, but by the good hand of God, I know he's going to do it. He did it for Ezra. He did it for Nehemiah. Come on, God's going to do it for me, because God has no respecter of persons. Amen. By the good hand of God, he's going to do it. Scripture has a lot to say about the hand of God. Amen. And a careful study of Scripture will reveal to us that when the Spirit of God is in you, the hand of the Lord is upon you. Praise God. How many know that we don't just need the hand of God to be with us? We need the hand of God to be upon us. We need the Spirit of God to infill us, just like the Bible says. Praise the Lord. Amen. And when we begin to study the Scriptures, we realize that the Bible has much to say about the hand of the Lord. We read in the book of Ezekiel that the hand of the Lord was upon me, and it carried me out in the Spirit of the Lord, and it set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones. And the hand of the Lord caused Ezekiel to witness that mighty miracle. It wasn't anything that Ezekiel deserved. It wasn't anything about Ezekiel that was good, but it was the hand of the Lord that was upon him and carried him out in the midst of that valley, in the midst of those dry bones, and allowed him to see and to behold the power of God. Amen. Listen, it was Nehemiah said, the king gave me the building materials to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem because the good hand of the Lord was upon me. Come on, Job said, by his hands he has made me. Praise the Lord. By his hands, church, we were created. Come on, I talked about this a couple of weeks ago briefly in Sunday school. Amen. When we study the account of creation, we see that God spoke things into existence. Come on, God spoke the beast of the field into existence. He spoke the fowls of the air into existence. He spoke the fish of the sea into existence. But when it came to his true creation, when it came to man and woman, God had to put his hands on them, and God formed them from the dust of the ground. Come on, we're talking about the good hand of God tonight. God put his hands on his creation. Listen, I was thinking about this today at work. When a criminal commits a crime, whether it be a petty theft or a murder, he goes onto a crime scene and he puts his hands up on stuff. And he leaves behind fingerprints, which ties him to the crime. It tells the forensic scientists who is behind the crime. It tells them who was there, and they find the fingerprints upon, and it tells who's behind it all. When the hand of God is upon your life, when the good hand of God is upon your life, when something good happens in your life, I want you to understand today, God's fingerprints are all over it. It reveals who's behind it. It's not because you deserve it, not because you're good, not because you're great, not because you're all of that. It's because it's a good hand of God upon your life. Hallelujah. Somebody give some praise unto the Lord tonight. It's the good hand of God. Everything that's good in your life comes from the Lord. Everything that's good in your life is a gift from God. His fingerprints are all over your life. Come on. Don't take credit for it. It ain't got nothing to do with you. There's somebody behind it all. Come on, you might be the best at your job, but don't get a big head because it ain't you at all. The fingerprints of God are upon your life. The fingerprints of God are upon your life. It's the good hand of God that's blessing you, that's protecting you, that's opening doors for you. It's those fingerprints that tie him to all the goodness in your life. Hallelujah, it's the hand of the Lord that brought you out of the mess you was in. Come on, there's some people in this church, the Lord has brought you a mighty long way. Come on, it's the hand of the Lord that reached down and pulled you out of that miry clay. It's the hand of the Lord that put your marriage back together. It's the hand of the Lord that removed the curses off your finances. It's the hand of the Lord that put you back in your right mind. It's the hand of the Lord. Come on. Listen, I might not have seen it yet. I know there's some people in here says, well, you know, I'm praying about some stuff, but I ain't seen it. Let me tell you something. You might not have seen it yet, but you better be crazy enough to believe you're still going to see it today. Come on, that's faith. That's walking in faith. That's not walking by sight. That's walking in faith. Amen. You better be crazy enough to believe you still might see it today. Come on. Come on. If you got to get out of your seat, that's what you better do. If you got to get out in the aisle, that's what you better do. If you got to march around the church, that's what you better do. If you got to jump up and down, that's what you better do. If you got to come to the altar at the beginning of service, in the middle of service, at the closing of service, that's what you better do. You got to praise him. You got to seek him. You got to knock until he opens the door. You got to be like the widow with the unjust judge. You got to say, Lord, I'm not letting go. I'm not letting go until you bless my soul. Because I know what the good hand of God can do in my life. Come on. Come on. We gotta hang in there until the good hand of God moves. So many times we want to sit there in our comfy seat and just think that God's going to do it. Let me tell you something. God's waiting on you. God's waiting on you. He's ready. God's ready. He can do it right now. He's waiting on you. He's waiting until you're ready to do it. Hallelujah, it's the good hand of God. I'm talking about the good hand of God tonight. Listen, I don't just want the hand of God to be upon my life. I want my life to be in his hands. Come on. You know that there's a difference in the way the Spirit of God moved in the Old Testament. I was just talking about Ezekiel when he said the Spirit of the Lord was upon me, or the hand of the Lord was upon me. Come on, let me tell you something. Then we read about how Scripture says, oh, the Spirit of the Lord carried me here. Let me tell you something. There was a difference in the Lord being with you and the Lord being in you. My God, hear this preacher today. There's a difference in the Spirit of the Lord being with you and the Spirit of the Lord being in you. I don't just want the hand of the Lord upon my life. I want my life to be in his hand. I want to be filled with the Spirit of God today. I'm talking about the good hand of God. I'm talking about the good hand of God today. I don't just want God's hand to be in my life. I want my life to be in his hands. Amen. I didn't walk through the door to shake hands with somebody tonight. I walked through the door to lay hands on somebody tonight. Come on, that's got to be the attitude of the church. We got to come into the house of the Lord expecting God to move. We got to come through the doors expecting the center to break. We got to walk through the doors of the church expecting the Holy Ghost to fall and the Holy Ghost to infill and the power of God to sweep through this place and the good hand of Lord to move in our lives today. Amen. I didn't just come to shake hands with somebody. I came to lay hands on somebody. But don't do it suddenly. Don't do it suddenly. I'm talking about the good hand of the Lord tonight, the good hand of God tonight. Church, it's what created you. He shaped you. He formed you. It's what created you. It's what's keeping you. It's what's encouraging you. It's what's delivering you. Come on. It's what's helping you when you cannot help yourself. It's the good hand of God in your life. It's what's redeeming you. It's what's blessing you. It's what's satisfying you. I'm talking about the good hand of God. There's nothing good in your life but God be in it tonight. There's nothing good. There's none good but God. Come on, it wasn't King Artaxerxes that let Ezra leave. It was the hand of the Lord that said, let him go. Come on, it wasn't the goodness of the king. It wasn't the favor of the man. It was the hand of God upon his life said, let him go. It wasn't Pharaoh's compassion that released the children of Israel out of Egypt. It was the hand of God that said, let my people go. And let me tell you something. It ain't going to be because depression gets tired that it lets go of you. It's going to be because the good hand of God said, let them go. Woo! It ain't going to be because you're a good person, you get your healing. It's going to be because the good hand of God says, let them go. Let them go. I'm talking about the good hand of God tonight. We need the hand. We need the fingerprints of God upon our lives. We need the fingerprints of God upon our lives tonight. Amen. We need him to deliver us. We need him to help us. We need him to sustain us. Come on, we need favor. Come on, if a man's ways are pleasing unto God, come on, listen, God's going to give you, if you got favor with God, he'll give you favor with man. But let me tell you something, you don't do it backwards. You don't try to get favor with man so you can have favor with God. You go to God first and God will give you favor with man. It wasn't because Ezra was a good man. It wasn't because Ezra was a great man. It was because the hand of God was upon him. And said, let him go. Let me tell you something. If the hand of the Lord is upon you, then the Spirit of the living God is within you. Come on, of whom shall I be afraid? Of whom shall I be afraid? The good hand of God is upon me. Come on, of whom shall I be afraid? Weapons won't prosper against me. Evil shall not befall me. Plague shall not come nigh me. His angels have been given charge over me because the good hand of God is upon me tonight. Praise the Lord. The good hand of God. Church, 1,000 will fall at thy side, 10,000 at thy right hand, if the good hand of God is upon you tonight. Come on, I just don't want his hand in my life. I want my life in his hands. I want my life in his hands. Praise the Lord. Ezra was not just a scribe. The Bible refers to him as a ready scribe. How many know we don't need to just be the children of God tonight? We need to be the ready children of God. Come on, that's why we got pre-service prayer so we can get rid of all the junk before service starts. Come on, we get rid of what the disappointment that happened at work today. We get rid of the argument that we had with our spouse on the way to church tonight. We don't need to just be the children of God. We need to be the ready children of God. Ezra was a ready scribe. Amen. The Bible refers to him as such. He was a ready scribe. And we don't just need to be a child of God. We need to be a ready child of God. Stand with me all over this house tonight as the musicians come quickly. Ezra left the bondage of Babylon behind him. It wasn't because he was good. It wasn't because he deserved it. It wasn't because he was great. It wasn't because he had served the king well. It was nothing less than the good hand of God upon his life. I'm telling you, you can be facing the worst of circumstances. If God be for you, it's more than the whole world is against you. You can be facing the worst diagnosis possible. Come on, you can get the worst news possible. But if God be for you, it's more than the whole world is against you. I'm talking to you tonight about the good hand of God. The good hand of God. Ezra left the bondage of Babylon behind him. Not because he was good, but it was because the good hand of God was upon him. The good hand of God was upon him because he sought the law of the Lord. Now we're getting down to brass tacks. Come on, now we're getting down to brass tacks. The good hand of God was upon this man because he sought the law of the Lord. Not just to know it, but to do it. To do it. And to teach it, the Bible says, in Jerusalem. To teach the statutes and the judgments of God in Jerusalem. Have you ever noticed in those paintings of the Lord's hands, it's always palms open when the Lord is holding something? Have you ever noticed it's never a clenched fist? It's never gripping something as if it can't get away. Come on, it's always open palms. That's the way it is with God. He's not going to force you to stay. He's not going to force you to worship. He's not going to make you choose him. Come on, his hands are open. His hands are there to lift you up. They're not to grab you and to restrict you and to restrain you and to force you. The good hand of God is there to exalt you and to lift you up, to pull you out, to give you direction, to pat you back on the highway of holiness. The good hand of God is there to bless you. But you got to desire, you got to search out the Lord, you got to knock until the door is opened, you got to seek until you find. Come on, somebody, I'm talking about the good hand of God tonight. It's not there to restrain you, it's not there to clench you, it's not there to force you. You don't have to, you can jump. We have a little dog at the house, and sometimes when I'm holding her, she gets a little crazy and out of her mind. She just jumps out of my hands. That's the way it is with God. He's not going to make you. He's not going to force you to come into his bosom. He's not going to force you to enjoy his blessings. He's not going to force you tonight. He's there to lift you up. He's there to bless you and to sustain you. He's there to bring things into your life that you can't bring yourself. You can't bring yourself. I was talking with a young person in the church this week, and I told him, I said, listen, over the last 10 years, you've tried it your way, and it has failed you miserably. What's it going to hurt you to just try the Lord? What's it going to hurt you to just give it your all? What's it going to hurt you? Everything you've done has failed you to this point. Everything you have done has let you down to this point. The hand of God will not fail you. The hand of God will not fail you. It didn't fail Ezra. It didn't fail Nehemiah. It didn't fail Peter when he stepped out of the boat. Come on, listen to me tonight. The hand of God was upon David when he was anointed king. When he stood in Saul's stead at one of the highest moments of his life. The hand of God was also with David when he came home and Ziklag had been burned with fire. Your walk with God is going to take you through many places, but the hand of God will not desert you. The hand of God will not desert you. He said, I'll go all the way with you, even to the end. I'm talking about the faithful, the good hand of God tonight. So many times we fail him. So many times we let him down. So many times we jump out of his hands like that little puppy at the house. He's not going to force us tonight. But the good hand of God is there to hold you. It's there to bless you. It's there to sustain you. It wasn't anything about Ezra that he deserved the opportunity. It was simply the hand of God. If you want doors to open in your life, put your life in God's hands. If you're tired of failing, if you're tired of disappointment, if you're tired of brokenness, if you're tired of failed relationships and failed finances and failed marriage, listen, put your life in God's hands tonight. The good hand of God. The good hand of God. Come on, you can leave the safety of the good hand of God anytime you choose to. But you'd have to be crazy to do it. I looked at my wife, I said, this crazy dog just jumped out of my hands and hit that floor. You got to be crazy to jump out of the hands of the Lord. You got to be crazy to get off the ship. You got to be crazy not to trust Him. People say, you're crazy. You're crazy going to church. No, you're crazy for not going to church. You're crazy for trusting God during a pandemic. No, you're crazy for not trusting God during a pandemic. You're crazy for giving 10% of your income to, no, you're crazy for not giving 10% of your income to the Lord. Come on, come on. His hands are open tonight. He wants to embrace you. He wants to help you. He wants to hold you. He wants to uplift you. He wants to nurture you. He wants to bless you tonight. Don't jump out of the good graces of God. Come on, I'm talking to somebody who the newness is wearing off. I'm talking to somebody, you've been coming to church for a little while and the devil's starting to tell you, come on, this is not like it was when you first started coming. Come on, I'm talking to somebody tonight. The Spirit of the Lord is speaking to somebody now. Don't jump out of the good graces of God. Don't jump out of the blessing. God's holding you in your hand. Every blessing you're enjoying is nothing more than the good hand of God. It's nothing more than the good hand of God. It's not because you deserve it. It's the good hand of God. Listen to me. The one who created the heavens and the earth, your life is in His hands. The one who has the weight of the world upon His shoulders, your life is in His hands. The one whose government of there shall be no end. Your life is in His hands. The one who's never lost a battle, your life is in His hands. Don't jump out of the good graces of God tonight. Come on, don't jump out of the good graces of God tonight. It was nothing more than the good hand of God that brought Ezra out of Babylon. And it's nothing more than the good hand of God that brought you to where you're at right now. You might not be where you're going, but you're sure enough not where you've been. Come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. And it's only by the good hand of God in your life. The one who's never lost a battle. Your life is in His hands. These altars are open as we sing this song unto the Lord. If you want to remain in the good hand of God, I tell you tonight, you better make the altar a regular place for you. If you want to remain in the good hand of God, you better sturdy yourself with prayer. You better sturdy yourself with studying God's word. You better become faithfulness. Faithfulness is what God's looking for. He's not asking that you never make a mistake. He knows you're going to let Him down sometime. But if you become faithful, remain in the good hand of God tonight. Come on, remain in the good hand of God tonight. It's nothing more. Every good thing in your life, every blessing you're enjoying is nothing more than the good hand of God. These altars are open as we sing this song unto the Lord.